May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is a special dedication service when we will be praying later in our prayers, particularly for all the different groups and activities within our church, giving thanks for everything that so many people do in our community. And we will have chance to rededicate ourselves to serving God and the community. When we come to church on a Sunday morning, we might not realise all that goes on behind the scenes, all those who are involved in making things happen and keeping things going. And I want to say a very big thank you to all those who contribute to the life of this church in so many different ways. Those who help with music, prayers, reading and serving on a Sunday morning. Those who serve in keeping up the buildings and the church grounds. The council and the wardens, those who organise social events, those who seek to provide pastoral care and support, all those who work in administration, safeguarding our finances and fundraising, those who are involved in charity groups and the Eco Church, those who teach in junior church and the young people's work, and those who put together the magazine and provide the church flowers. None of this would happen without the hard work of many people. We are, of course, always looking for new volunteers. So do think today if there are any areas of church life where you might be able to be more involved. But, of course, it's not just about doing things. Someone in the congregation commented to me the other day, "I'm not a has-been, but I'm a was." And what she meant by that was that she was very active in the church in the past, but could be so no longer. But this does not mean, of course, that she is not giving to the church now. We contribute to the life of the church, not just by what we do, but by the person that we are. And this particular person has wonderful gifts of encouragement and praying for others. And these gifts must be highly valued. As we give thanks for all that goes on in our church and all that different people contribute, perhaps we also need to stand back and remind ourselves why we are here in the first place. Why do we do what we do? What is our community based on? And what should be its essential characteristic and purpose? Everything that we are and do in all our relationships and activities is based on what God has done for us in Christ. Everything stems from the abundant grace that God has given us through creation, through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, and through the empowering of the Spirit. So everything we do should come out of and point towards the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Earlier we heard a reading from John's Gospel. Jesus had just shared the Last Supper with his friends and stooped down and washed his disciples' feet. Judas has left in order to betray him. And in this context, Jesus looks ahead to his suffering, death, and resurrection, in which God's glory will be revealed. And as he prepares to leave his disciples, he gives them a new commandment to love one another just as he has loved them. Now, the commandment to love one another is hardly new in one sense. It's part of the Jewish law. But Jesus, during the Last Supper, has established the new covenant in his blood. And the commandment takes on a deeper meaning. They are to love one another as he has loved them. And their love for one another is to come out of the self-sacrificial love he's poured out upon them and to be mark out who they are. It's to be their most essential characteristic, a marker, a sign to those around them. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This is a very striking statement. I'm reminded of a chorus I learnt as a teenager. We are one in the spirit. It has the line, "They will know we are Christians by our love." Is that what would most strike visitors who came to our church? The most powerful sign that we are followers of Christ doesn't come from powerful preaching, our splendid programs, plans and projects, busy activities or theological degrees, but by being a loving community. To bring this down to earth, it's how we do what we do, the quality of our relationships, which is just as important as what we say and do. Now, I'm sure we'd all agree that love is uncontroversially a good thing. It's like apple pie. But of course, it all depends on what we mean by love. Love in the New Testament is not a sentimental feeling or a wishy-washy niceness or a tolerant live and let live attitude. The love which we are to love one another with is to reflect the love of Christ. Think about the humility of Christ, the complete self-giving, the refusal to stand on his own status, the extent of forgiveness he offered, not only forgiving his friends who let him down, but even his enemies who crucified him. Love sounds very nice, but actually it includes some very hard virtues like humility, patience, forgiveness, and sacrifice. Again, to bring that down to earth, we all know that working together with others, whether it's organising music, planning a social event, discussing an issue at a council meeting, dealing with church buildings, can sometimes be challenging. Sometimes we disagree with each other. Sometimes we can feel hurt by someone else's reaction. We are bound to disagree with each other. We are human beings, after all. It's how we disagree that matters. And when we fail to treat one another with love, we need to come back again and again to God's love for us and ask his Spirit to help us to love one another in Christ. Yes, that love can be challenging. It can also be sometimes unsettling. In our reading from Acts, we heard how the Christians in Jerusalem are upset by Peter's fellowship with Gentiles, which was against the Jewish law. And Peter has to retell of his transforming experience, how God spoke to him in a vision that he should not call unclean that which God had called clean, and that the Spirit told him not to make a distinction between himself and these Gentiles. So he goes to the Gentile Cornelius' house and he speaks to them about Christ, and they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit the first disciples had received at Pentecost. Peter and the Jewish Christians have to learn to extend their boundaries, to understand that God is at work amongst the Gentiles too, that they too can repent and turn to God and be welcomed into the new Christian community in Christ. So for us too, the love that we are called to live and share is not just for people like us. The Spirit may work in ways which sometimes surprise us. And the Christian community draws people together from all cultures and backgrounds in unity in Christ. This may sometimes, perhaps, be difficult. We may have different assumptions and ways of doing things. But it is also something to celebrate. And we will be celebrating the wonderful mix of people that we are at St Ursula's in our international lunch at Pentecost on the 9th of June. Please do join us for that. Jesus gives his disciples a new commandment to love one another. But it is worth reminding ourselves that love is not something that originates in ourselves. Love may be a commandment, but it is also first and foremost a gift. We can only love one another because we have first received God's love for us in Christ. We are back to what I said at the beginning of this sermon. All that we are and do comes out of what God has done for us. Our love for one another comes out of the riches of God's love for us. Jesus is the source of our Christian love for one another. So as we give thanks for all that goes on in our church, as we reflect on our own involvement and participation and what we can offer, as we rededicate ourselves to serving God and serving one another, let us also pray for the capacity to receive God's love more deeply into our hearts, and for the gift of the Spirit within us and among us. Yes, sometimes we will fail to love, but then we simply ask for God's Spirit, repent, turn around, and start again. Jesus says, "Love one another as I have loved you." Amen.